Welcome to Season 3, Episode 6 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the weekly and yearly observances found in the book of Leviticus. As always, we're going to be focusing on what the Bible has to say about this topic. So I invite you to test all things in light of what the scriptures teach. So let's get started. Leviticus chapter 23 addresses the various weekly and yearly observances given by God for the people to follow. There are 8 of these in this chapter, 1 weekly observance, which is the Sabbath day, and 7 yearly observances. Each of these was for a different purpose. In this episode, we're going to look at 7 of these observances and see how the reminders for the Israelites are just as necessary for us today. So let's consider the weekly and yearly observances given in the book of Leviticus and see what we can learn from them. The first one is the Sabbath day. Leviticus 23 and verse 3 says, "For 6 days work may be done, but on the 7th day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings." The Israelites were told that they were to work for 6 days and rest the 7th day of each week. This was to remind them of God's work in creation, as Genesis 2:2-3 record. And this, they were reminded of this when the law was given, Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. It says there, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work." Verse 11 says, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the 7th day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." The next observance, and the first of the yearly observances that are listed in Leviticus 23, is the Passover. In Leviticus 23, verse 5, it says, "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, is the Lord's Passover." The Passover was given to them to remember that God spared the houses of the sons of Israel during the final plague in Egypt. In Exodus 12, verses 11 and 12, it says, "Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike down all the firstborn of the land of Egypt." Then later in Exodus 12, verses 24 through 27, it says, "And you shall observe this event as an ordinance for you and your children forever. When you enter the land which the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall observe this rite. And when your children say to you, 'What does this rite mean to you?' you shall say, 'It is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians but spared our homes.'" The next one is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In Leviticus 23, verses 6 through 8, it says, "Then on the 15th day of the same month there is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work. But for seven days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the 7th day is a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work." This began on the first month, 15th day of the month, the day after the Passover, and it continued for 7 days. They were told that they were to eat unleavened bread. There was not even to be any leaven in their houses, as Exodus 12:15 says. The first and the 7th days were holy convocations and days of rest, and offerings by fire were presented each day during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Then we have the Feast of First Fruits. In Leviticus 23:10, it says, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, 'When you enter the land which I am going to give to you, and reap its harvest, then you shall bring in the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest.' This would be observed, as the text says, after they entered the promised land. They would bring a burnt offering, a grain offering, and drink offerings, as Leviticus 23:12-13 says. And until they presented their offering, they were not to eat bread, roasted grain, or the new growth, verse 14 says. Then after this, we have the Feast of Weeks. In Leviticus 23:15-16, it says, "You shall count also for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be 7 complete Sabbaths. You shall count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord. So this would occur 50 days after the feast of first fruits. They were to bring two loaves of bread for a wave offering, verse 17 says. These would be offered along with a burnt offering, a sin offering, and a peace offering, verses 18 and 19. And there would also be a holy convocation and a day of rest, verse 21. Then we have the Day of Atonement. We talked about this in our episode last week. Leviticus 23, verses 27 and 28 says, on exactly the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall humble your souls and present an offering by fire to the Lord. You shall not do any work on this same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement on your behalf before the Lord your God. Again, this was observed on the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, and it was to be a day of rest, and atonement would be made for their sins. And as we talked about last week in chapter 16 of Leviticus, this day is described in more detail. Then the final one is the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles. In Leviticus 23, verses 34 through 36, it says, "Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, on the 15th of the 7th month is the Feast of Booths, for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day is a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work of any kind. For 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the 8th day you shall have a holy convocation and present an offering by fire to the Lord." Then verses 42 and 43 says, "For you shall live in booths for 7 days. All the native born in Israel shall live in booths, so that your generations may know that I had the sons of Israel live in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." So this began on the 7th month, on the 15th day of the month, and it continued for 7 days. The first day and the 8th day, the day after the 7 days were completed, these were holy convocations and days of rest. Offerings by fire were presented each day, and during the 7 days the people were to live in booths or in tents to remind them of God bringing the people out of Egypt. Now, after we look at those and we consider those, we want to draw some applications for us as Christians today. It is important that we remember the lessons for us in these regular observances for those who were under the old law. Though we are not under the same law anymore, the reminders are just as necessary for us. When we look at the Sabbath day, the Sabbath each week was a reminder of God's work as our Creator. We also must remember the lessons about God from creation just as they needed to. Romans 1 verse 20 says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." They were to observe the Sabbath day and remember that God created all things. We need to remember that as well, because the creation demonstrates and shows to us the power of God. The Passover was a reminder that God spared the Israelites from the plague of death when they were in Egypt. In 1 Corinthians 5:7, Jesus is described by Paul as our Passover, because He saves us from death. In Romans 5, verses 8 through 10, Paul told the Romans that God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So as the Passover reminded the Jews of the fact that God spared their lives in the plague of the death of the firstborn, Jesus is our Passover, and He allows us to be spared from the destruction and death that comes through sin, because we can have forgiveness in Him. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was observed with the removal of all leaven from their house, as we saw there in Leviticus 23:6-8 and Exodus 12:15. In the New Testament, leaven is used to symbolize sin, 1 Corinthians 5:6-8. This reminds us of the need for purity and to remove sin from our lives. John says in 1 John 3:3 that everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. As they were to remove leaven from their houses during that Feast of Unleavened Bread, We are called to remove sin from our lives as individuals and also as churches. The Feast of First Fruits required the people to bring the first of their produce. This is a reminder for us of the need to put God first in all things. Just as Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Our service to God and our devotion to Him must be a priority. Then we have the Feast of Weeks. This also required the people to offer to God of the fruit of the ground. It is a reminder of God's ongoing providence as He blesses us with what we need in this life. When Paul was in Lystra, he told the crowd there in Acts 14:17 that God did not leave Himself without witness, in that He did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Just as God blessed the children of Israel, He continues to bless us today. The Day of Atonement provided a yearly reminder of sin and the need for forgiveness. Jesus made atonement for us on the cross, making forgiveness possible. In Romans 5:10 and 11, it says, "If while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation," or the King James Version says, "we have received the atonement." When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, He said of the fruit of the vine that, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." The Day of Atonement reminded them of their need for forgiveness, and we have that in Christ. And we must remember we cannot have forgiveness outside of Christ. The Feast of Booths required the people to live in tents in order to remind them of their time in the wilderness after leaving Egypt. Similarly, we need to remember that our time on earth is only temporary. Jesus said in Matthew 6:19 through 21, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:1, "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." We have a permanent home, not here on earth, but in heaven with God. So in conclusion, while we are obviously not under the same law today and do not have the same ordinances and observances that the Israelites did, the reminders that were contained in those observances are just as necessary for us today. We must remember that God is our Creator, that Jesus saves us from death, that we have an obligation to remove sin from our lives, that we must put the Lord first, that we must depend upon God's providence, that we can have forgiveness through Christ, and also that our time on earth is only temporary. This world is not our home. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others. Next week, we'll be talking about faith in God to provide. Until then, I hope you have a great week.